This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
An Iranian court has sentenced two men to death over their involvement in a deadly attack on Shah Cheragh Shrine in southern Iran last October. Pakistan's former Prime Minister Imran Khan officially marks his presence in court amid heavy clashes between his supporters and police. And former U.S. President Donald Trump says he expects to be arrested on Tuesday, calling on his supporters to protest. Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to World News. In our top story, an Iranian court has sentenced two men to death over involvement in a deadly attack on Shah Cheragh Shrine in southern Iran last October. Court convicted the two men of directly assisting the perpetrator of that attack. Meanwhile, Iran's judiciary said two men had ties to Daesh terrorist group and helped the attacker with accommodations, weapons, and other kinds of logistical support. The judiciary added the three other Daesh members were also given prison sentences ranging from 5 to 25 years. Attack on Shah Cheragh Shrine left 13 pilgrims and staff dead and 30 others injured. Attacker was killed during clashes with security forces. The Daesh terror group later claimed responsibility for the bloody incident. Iran, Russia, China joint maritime exercises dubbed Combined Maritime Security Belt Exercise 2023 have come to an end. The trilateral drills were wrapped up after naval forces of participating countries conducted anti-piracy exercises and marine firefighting operations in the northern part of the Sea of Oman. Matthew Abbasian has your details.
The combined joint drill of Iran, China, and Russia in the north of Oman Sea has ended with a parade of participating vessels in front of the Iranian Jamaran destroyer.
We have successfully wrapped up the final day of the joint exercise. On the last day, we practiced rescuing a ship hijacked by pirates and extinguished the fire of a damaged ship. These important exercises were aimed at improving security in the northern part of the Indian Ocean, as well as countering maritime piracy and terrorism. We have managed to achieve all predetermined goals of the drill. Our main goal is to attract the collective participation of friendly and aligned countries in this region.
On the final day of the 2023 Maritime Security Belt exercise, with the presence of the naval forces of Iran, China, and Russia, the maritime and aerial units of the three countries carried out fire-extinguishing operations. They also conducted rescue and relief operations of the injured as well as towing a damaged ship to a port. In another exercise, special operations teams of Iran, China, and Russia practiced freeing a trade vessel that had been hypothetically hijacked by pirates in international waters. In this part of the exercise, arresting the pirates, countering the acts of sabotage by pirates to delay rescue operation, and also treating the injured were successfully conducted.
Our goal from conducting this exercise was cooperation based on mutual respect. We believe powerful countries like Iran, China, and Russia can play an important role in helping the global economy and security.
The 2023 Maritime Security Belt Joint Exercise is the fourth joint naval exercise of Iran, Russia, and China in recent years. Kazakhstan and Pakistan were also present as observers in this year's exercise. Admiral Irani said the naval units of these countries will participate in 2024 joint exercise.
The exercises are the latest in the joint drills by Iran, China, and Russia. Iran says all regional countries are most welcome to take part in the next year drills because they are the ones that are truly in charge of establishing security in the region. Mahdi Abbasian, Konarak.
And now Pakistan's former Prime Minister Imran Khan has finally appeared before court amid a massive standoff between his supporters and police.
Stop the madness!
Situation was chaotic around Islamabad's high court when Khan arrived. He was unable to enter the courtroom and was ultimately allowed by the judge to sign his presence from his vehicle. Now, Khan's been accused of graft charges during his stint, an allegation he vehemently denies. Earlier in the day, the Pakistani police clashed with his supporters and made some arrests near Khan's home in Lahore. The former cricket superstar said he's formed a committee to lead his party in case he gets arrested. The legal proceedings against Khan began after he was ousted from office in a parliamentary vote early last year. And since then, he's been holding protests throughout the country calling for early elections. The government has so far refused his demand. And our correspondent in Islamabad, Nasir Kazmi, explains why Imran Khan is concerned about his safety and how the government is responding to that.
He is repeatedly saying that his life is under serious danger, and that's the key issue. We have seen that the former Prime Minister of Pakistan, Benazir Bhutto, has been assassinated in the Rawalpindi, the sister city of Islamabad, and this, during the same election, really. So the demand from the Khan is quite obvious that his life is under danger. And we have seen that he was attacked in Punjab and he was leading a rally. So in such circumstances, the government is determined, and they are repeatedly saying that we want to protect Imran Khan from these assassination attempts, but he should follow the rule of law in the country. So this is, I mean, the point where there is a conflict between the government and Imran Khan at the moment, because the PTI party, they are struggling for what they call the rule of law in the country. And at the same time, when it comes to the matter comes to the courts and appearing before the courts. So this is, I mean, something very strange that Imran Khan is avoiding to appear before court.
And former U.S. President Donald Trump has urged his supporters to take to the streets, and this time as he faces detention over hush money payment. We discuss his possible arrest and its repercussions for the 2024 presidential election bid with our guests earlier in our news review program. Here it is.
It's news review time. Stay tuned. Former U.S. President Donald Trump says if he expects to be arrested on Tuesday over a court case related to an adult film actress, calling on his supporters to protest. Trump made a comment on his Truth social media platform. The case relates to hush money Trump allegedly paid to an adult film actress before the 2016 presidential vote to stop her from going public about an alleged affair with him years earlier. Trump has denied having any affair with the woman, but signs are mounting that prosecutors are moving closer to indicting Trump. If Trump is indicted, he'll become the first former prime minister to be charged with a crime. That would also send political shockwaves as Trump tries to secure a Republican nomination for the 2024 presidential election. Okay, let's get into it and see what's happening there. So let me invite a couple of guests. Colin Campbell, our correspondent, joining us from Washington, D.C. Frank M. Spack is a radio producer and political commentator in Tucson. Frank, is he likely to be arrested? And if so, what repercussions could it have for him? Because he's going to run for president again.
Well, he is running for president. And every observer said he's likely to be arrested, although Tuesday seems to have been sort of made up by the Trump people. There's no indication from the New York prosecutor that that's the case. They say they have one more person they want to interview before they take action. But I do think there'll be an arrest here. I can't imagine a situation where President, ex-President Trump is being arraigned in New York in an atmosphere of calm and peacefulness. He's been very clear that he wants to mobilize his base in support. I don't think he has the kind of political organization, a disciplined political organization behind him, which means that the kind of mobilization we're going to see is undisciplined and anarchical, like we did on January 6th. And that's much more difficult to predict, never mind from the authorities' point of view to control. That's one thing. The second thing, however, is going to be, what is the Republican Party going to say? Are they going to say they're arresting a legitimate candidate for government and therefore we're having a dictatorship here? Or are they going to say, well, you know, the guy's been indicted and we should let the Justice Department and justice go forward like normal? And that's going to be a big thing, because clearly, if you say the one thing, that this is an illegitimate arrest, you're then calling into question the legitimacy of the government. And that is a completely uncharted area for the United States. The last time that happened was in the spring of 1861.
Okay. Colin, if Trump is arrested, tell us about his popularity among the American people. Where does he stand now? What are his chances of being reelected?
Well, right now, he's the leading Republican candidate. We've had other challenges come out. Nikki Haley is officially running for president, and she's not expected to do very well up against someone like Trump. Recent polls have shown that he is definitely the front runner, even unlikely candidates who haven't quite yet announced, like the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, or his former vice president, Mike Pence, and others like Tim Scott, a senator from South Carolina. All of these people, when matching up against Trump, actually lose to Trump, at least in polling. Now, you can skew the numbers a little bit depending on various different quantifiers, but when you look at just all of the totals, it looks like Trump comes out ahead, even above current President Biden, if they were to face head-to-head at this point. So right now, what does that mean? Trump is still wildly popular amongst his supporters, and what he's thinking, and the political calculation here is, if he can tell people to go out there and rally, and to see that arrest could actually embolden him, could actually embolden supporters, get them mad enough where they support him even more in the primary, because now he looks like a political adversary who looks like he's being castigated for his politics rather than any malfeasance. So this could actually work to Trump's advantage to some degree, depending on the outcome of his arrest.
Thank you so much for that. Colin Campbell in Washington, D.C., Frank Kemsbeck in Tucson, Arizona.
Russian President Vladimir Putin makes an unexpected visit to Crimea to mark the 9th anniversary of Moscow's annexation of the peninsula from Ukraine. Putin attended a new children's center and art school in Crimea. He also held talks with the Russian governor of Sevastopol. The surprise visit comes a day after the International Criminal Court issued an arrest warrant against him, accusing him of war crimes. Russia dismissed the accusation as void and null, saying the warrant lacks any meaning or legal value. Tensions between the U.S. and Russia have risen to new levels after Washington accused Moscow of causing its drone to crash into the Black Sea. But Moscow has blamed increased U.S. intelligence gathering against Russia for the incident. Moscow says drone flights near the Crimean Peninsula are provocative, warning of proportionate response in the future. The incident was the first direct encounter between the U.S. and Russia since the Ukraine war began 13 months ago.
Tensions between the U.S. and Russia have risen to unprecedented levels after Washington accused Moscow of colliding with one of its Reaper surveillance drones, forcing it to crash into the Black Sea waters off Crimea. Russia denied it deliberately brought the unmanned aerial vehicle down. Moscow says the drone went down after stalling and never came into contact with another aircraft. Russia says the UAV was flying towards the Russian border without an active transponder, in clear violation of the restricted area established for the conduct of the special military operation. Two interceptors were dispatched to investigate. As a result of sharp maneuvers, the MQ-9 unmanned aerial vehicle went into uncontrolled flight, lost altitude, and collided with the water surface. The Russian fighters did not use weapons, did not come into contact with the UAV, and returned safely to their home base. That's what the Russian Defense Ministry stated. But the U.S. has rejected Russia's explanation, accusing Russian jets of an unsafe and unprofessional intercept of the drone. U.S. military officials claimed their spy drone was operating in international airspace when a pair of Su-27 jets appeared, sprayed it with fuel, and struck the propeller of the UAV, which caused it to crash into the sea.
But there is a pattern of behavior recently where there is a little bit more aggressive actions being conducted by the Russians. We think we haven't completed our analysis as to why that's happening. And it wasn't just involving us. There were some incidents earlier with the British and some other nations as well.
The U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has already reached out to his Russian counterpart, Sergei Shoigu, to discuss the incidents. The last time Shoigu and Austin spoke was in October 2022. The latest incident has further strained the already tense relations between the two nations.
Russia says its relations with the U.S. have reached a lamentable state. Hawkish U.S. politicians are now demanding action against Russia over this incident. Washington has said the U.S. aircraft will fly wherever international law allows, warning Russia to proceed with caution.
Kremlin said on Wednesday that relations with the U.S. were in a lamentable state and at their lowest level. Calls are already growing loud in the U.S. to retaliate against Russia. Hawkish Republican Senator Lindsey Graham has suggested opening fire on Russian fighter jets that intercept U.S. drones.
They shot down our drone. What should our answer be?
Well, we should hold them accountable and say that if you ever get near another U.S. set flying in international waters, your airplane would be shot down. What would Ronald Reagan do right now? He would start shooting Russian planes down if they were threatening our assets.
Russia's ambassador to the U.S., Anatoly Antonov, said the senator's call to shoot down Russian aircraft went far beyond common sense and risked all-out war between the world's largest nuclear powers. Since Russia started the military operation in eastern Ukraine, contact between American and Russian military leaders has been limited. Meanwhile, Italy's foreign minister, Antonio Tajani, has said that the drone crash represents a moment of great tension in relations between Moscow and Washington. He also urged the West and Russia to exercise caution so that they could avoid a direct clash. The crisis comes as the war is still raging on in eastern Ukraine. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky has said Russian forces must be stopped in Bakhmut and other towns in the east. Russia has said the capturing of Bakhmut opens a path to taking control of the entire Donetsk region, one of its central war aims. Russian forces and fighters from Wagner Group have captured Bakhmut's east, but have apparently failed to encircle the city. NATO also warned last week that Bakhmut could fall within a matter of days.
And that's it for your latest, everyone. Thank you for joining us here on World News.
The bustle of life. The sound of living. Only sound will endure.
Hello.
IRIB English Radio.
The National People's Congress and the Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference have boosted science and technology in the national agenda. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. Nature wrote in this regard, science has been elevated in the Chinese national agenda following two high-level policy meetings of the Chinese Party. During the concurrent Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference and National People's Congress, which ended on March 13th, government officials sent a strong message that science and technology are driving forces in China's efforts to achieve self-reliance and high-quality development, say researchers who are watching events closely. The announced changes include the creation of a high-level body to oversee the country's science and technology efforts. The Chinese party is mobilizing science and technology to achieve its goals, says Jing Qian, who heads the Asia Society Policy Institute Center for China Analysis in New York City. That focus will see increased emphasis on key technologies such as artificial intelligence, AI, and semiconductors, many of which have dual civilian and military uses, he says. The meetings were the first time that Xi Jinping, who officially began a third term as China's president on March 10th, had full control over political appointments without needing to make compromises with other powerful factions, says Jing. Also at the two sessions, Li Qiang was appointed China's new premier. Li is widely regarded as a pro-business and pragmatic official who has left a positive impression on foreign investors, says Jing. At a press briefing recently, he noted the importance of science and technological innovation and transitioning to a green economy. The move towards more centralized control over research that requires significant investment and coordination is driven by geopolitical tensions between the United States and China, says Marina Zhang, who studies innovation with a focus on China at the University of Technology Sydney in Australia. Last October, the U.S. government imposed rules restricting China from purchasing advanced computing chips and manufacturing semiconductors. The prominence given to science at the concurrent meetings, known as the two sessions, follow President Xi's declaration of support for science during his reinstatement for a historic third term as party general secretary in October 2022. At the latest meetings, officials announced that Wang Jigang, the current Minister for Science and Technology, who has reached retirement age for government ministers, will retain his position for now. Meanwhile, State Councillor Xiao Ji said the party would establish a new permanent body called the Central Science and Technology Commission, which will delegate tasks to the existing Ministry of Science and Technology. It is not yet clear who will sit on this committee, but researchers say that it will probably be led by high-level officials, possibly even Xi himself. Such commissions are not uncommon and have been established in the past for several critical areas, such as in 3G cellular technology, says Zhang. This creation of the body will elevate the status of the MOST in the National Science and Technology Enterprise, says Kang Kao, a science policy researcher at the University of Nottingham in Ningbo, China. To streamline the ministry's policymaking, some of its current administrative tasks, such as allocating budgets in agriculture, ecology, and environmental protection and public health, will be handed to other ministers. This could result in some cost savings and prevent duplication of research efforts, says Kao. The work of attracting talent from abroad will also move to be under the Ministry of Human Resources and Social Security. Science and technology funding is also expected to continue to rise. The government's expenditure on research and development is projected to reach 328 billion yuan, that is $48 billion, in 2023, an increase of 2% on 2022 levels, according to a draft budget report. Overall, China's spending on R&D has increased from 2.1% to more than 2.5% of gross domestic product, GDP, over the past 5 years. At the press briefing, Wang emphasized that investments in basic research will need to expand. Researchers expect this funding will flow principally to areas in which China faces increasing pressure from the United States and other Western regimes. These include artificial intelligence, big data, energy storage, semiconductors, biotechnology, and the clean energy transition. The choice of delegates who attended the two sessions demonstrate the importance of these technologies, say researchers. The heads of e-commerce company Alibaba and technology platform Tencent have attended previous meetings, but this year saw the appearance of leaders of artificial intelligence software company SenseTime, the semiconductor manufacturer Hua Hong Semiconductor, and many representatives of chip design, automobile and battery companies, and this reflects a clear change of the focus of the country's innovation policy, says Zhang.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to the listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I am Atta, the host of this program. Within the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi and Shaykh Rouhani. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the show.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
And Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
The New Year's festival, according to the Persian calendar, is called Nowruz. Nowruz means Nowruz, Ruz and No, new day. And the Nowruz, or the New Year of the Persians, starts at the, we can say, season of spring. At the first day of the month of Farvardin, the new year, the Iranian New Year and calendar starts, and the Iranian celebrates and the Persian celebrates their new year with the coming of the spring of the nature is over there, everything becomes green, the weather is really good, and the people try to enjoy the timing at the New Year's festival at Nowruz. Now, the question is that, is there any specific recommendation in the religion of Islam to approve, for example, Nowruz or the New Year? And the second question is there, how to create the spring of the soul? Now we have the spring of the season. How to be refreshed inside our spirit and spiritually speaking. Sayyid Mohsen, let's start with you, brother.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We have a couple of narrations. For example, there is one narration from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam where he is teaching Mu'alla bin Khunais. He tells him that when there is a new day, which is the new year, Nowruz, yes, actually, on that day you must have a ghusl or perform the bath, clean yourself, put on new clothes. Mm-hmm. And the main idea is, instead of new clothes, the word is used, the pure clothes.
Yes.
The pure means it should be new, or maybe it's the clean clothes. That's what you need to do. And after that, it is recommended to fast on that day and also to pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a specific prayer in which we recite Suratul Hamd, and then there is Suratul Kafirun, Suratul Ikhlas, Suratul Falaq, and Suratul Nas. Okay. So these are recommended, and there are a couple of, you know, prayers as well, supplications as well, that we perform on this.
Yes.
The main thing is that what Imam says is, after you perform all this, you need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and read a supplication. What does it mean, actually, you know, when we talk about the new year? The new year means that this new year is about to start. Either it's the lunar year, maybe it's the solar, according to the, you know, the English calendar that we have, or maybe Persian calendar that we have.
There are different New Year's festivals according to different calendars.
But the main
calendars.
Idea is, because this is something in the culture, and it's starting, we are celebrating this New Year. This New Year should start with purifying yourself, getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not to get involved in the sins. Mm-hmm. This is very important.
Very good.
Especially, you know, when the new year comes, we know that.
Yes.
Especially, like, you know, when the English calendar.
Yes.
We see there are many people, they get involved into the sins.
Sins, yes.
There's drinking, there's dancing, there's, yes. I don't know, there are many things.
Yes.
Whereas this new year, when you are celebrating, it means that Allah has give you a chance to start another year.
Yes.
The past year is gone.
Yes.
And we need to sit and think what we have done in this past year.
This is a very beautiful point, that are the people are really reminded of the blessings that Allah give them, of giving them another year, giving them another life. During pandemic, we could see that, for example, in COVID-19 pandemic, so many people lost their families.
Yes.
So they could not see the next year. Now you are given the new year. How do you take a new look at your life now? This is really very important. That's all right. Okay, I will get back to more suggestions on according to Islamic teachings. But Sheikh Rouhani, how to start a new year? One of them was, for example, avoiding the sins. What else can we do in order to have a better, we can say, new year according to Islamic teachings?
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think this term, Nowruz, or which is also termed in Arabic Hadith Nehruz, the Arabized one, is Nehruz. Nehruz, as you rightly mentioned, it means the new day.
Yes.
We should not wait till the year ends to start a new year.
Okay.
Rather, every day we should have a new day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every day we should have Nehruz.
Okay.
Because 2 days of our life should not be the same.
Oh, very good.
In our Hadith, in our narrations, yes, it's mentioned that the 2 days should not be the same. Second day, I mean, the next day, you have to improve. You have to perfect yourself. You have to gain and achieve more achievements.
Yes.
So if the 2 days are the similar days, the same days, it means that you did not improve. You did not perfect. You did not achieve anything.
Okay.
So that's why every day of us should be no rules.
Yes.
This concept is mentioned, this kind of phrases we have in some of the riwayat.
Mm-hmm.
That is narrated that the Holy Prophet said that every day could be Nowruz. You know, because at the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you see that Yemen was part of Persia.
Oh,
Yemen.
Okay.
Was part of Persia.
Okay.
And actually, Yemen, the Yemeni people were called Persian people because lots of Persian people were living there.
Really?
Yeah, and they were going to Mecca and Medina.
You know, the Prophet sent the letter to the Persian emperor.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
He sent a delegation from the Yemen.
Yes, Yemen. Of course.
Because they knew Arabic.
Yeah.
Oh.
Towards Medina.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And their Prophet said, like, when you go back, your king will be died and his son will take over.
Yeah. That's right. Because this Bahrain, Yemen, and these, all these areas were
part of the Great
part
Persia.
Of the Great Persia, of course,
Okay.
So that's why Persian people used to go to Mecca, to Medina at the time of the Holy Prophet.
Very good.
It is mentioned that once these Iranians, these Persian people, went to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and presented him some gifts on the day of Nowruz. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted the gifts and appreciated them.
Okay.
And said something about Nowruz.
Okay.
That is a bit long. The audience can refer to this.
Yes,
this is very nice.
Okay.
That Prophet mentioned some points about Nowruz.
Okay.
And it seems that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not oppose
Nowruz
this day. Yeah.
Yes.
To celebrate this day.
Yes.
And also Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam.
Okay.
Because at the time of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam in Kufa, there were many Persians.
Yes.
Yeah. Non-Arabs were living there with Amir al-Mu'minin Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. The same thing happened to Ali alayhi salatu wasalam.
Mm-hmm.
The people went to Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam and gifted him on the day of Nowruz some things. And then Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam accepted.
Okay.
Accepted the gifts and praised and appreciated them.
Mm-hmm.
And also a very nice riwayah which is narrated from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. It is very nice.
Yes.
Some of the companions of the Holy Prophet, the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, referred to the Imam asking about a person, a farmer, who celebrated the day of Mehragan or Mehrajan.
Yes.
Which is the same as the day of Nowruz.
Yes.
He said that this man celebrate this day.
Okay.
And in this day he presented some gifts to some friends as well as us. Or
yes,
maybe sometimes he come to you and gift you something. Would you accept or not to celebrate this way the day of Nowruz? Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam here gave us a very key kind of solution. Says that, is that person is Muslim. He said, yes, he's Muslim. He's saying the prayers, performing fasting, whatever. Says that if he is Muslim, you have to accept the gifts.
Okay.
You know, Imam says that we cannot accept the gifts or hadaya or tuhfa from non-Muslims.
Yes.
From disbelievers.
Okay.
If they are Muslims, you have to accept. And yes, there's no problem with that.
Yes.
You can celebrate this way, that day with them.
What we see nowadays is that the Persians, we can say, celebrate their Nowruz, as they say, but they are Muslims. They are Shia Muslims, okay?
Yes.
So there is no contradiction. We could not see any contrast or contradiction between these two important rituals, one of them national, one of them religious.
Yeah. Okay. It is from the Shiite perspective.
Yes.
But if you look at from the Sunnite perspective to Nowruz, we see that particularly Khulafa-i Abbasi, the Abbasid caliphs, they did not have any problem with Nowruz. Even some of them celebrated Nowruz.
Okay.
So these Abbasid caliphs were Sunnis.
Yes.
So they followed the Sunni teachings and doctrines. According to them, there was, again, no problem with Nowruz. You know? And the other point is that what do we do in Nowruz exactly?
Yes.
We do, for example, we wear new, for example, fresh kind of clothing.
Yes.
Yeah.
We put perfume.
Yeah, we do Salat al-Arham, visit, for example. And we visit, for example, our relatives.
Yes.
And or, for example, we gift.
We gift
the people, the friends.
I could exactly remember when I was a kid, I go, for example, to my grandparents' house. There was always a kind of AD, okay? It was usually the new bills, okay?
Yes.
But where? This is important. Inside the Holy Quran, okay? I just took out the new bills from inside the pocket of the Holy Quran, just blessed it with the Holy Quran, put a dua on it or something like that, and give it to the, because to give you barakah in life
of course,
or something like that.
That's just right. One point that should be mentioned is that it is not an Islami Eid.
Yes, it is not.
We have Eid al-Fitr, Eid
al-Adha,
Eid al-Jum'ah, and Eid al-Ghadir.
Eid al-Ghadir,
so these four Eids are there.
Yes, yes, yes.
So as Islamic rituals, as Islamic Eid, we cannot term it an Islamic Eid.
Islamic, no, it's not.
But if we celebrate this day as a day that we go, for example, we go to our parents, respect them, and gift them.
Yes.
Or relatives, brothers, sisters, relatives. There's no problem with that, you know?
But just take a look at the spirit. I mean, spiritually speaking, there are so many lessons in Nowruz which are in harmony with Islamic teachings.
Yes,
just look at the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth.
Yes.
How the earth is green again.
Yes,
just look at the trees. Look at the fruits.
Yeah.
We know that, for example, the Persians has put sabze. It is a kind of, for example, piece of grass, for example, in the dinner table. They put it over there. All these ayat, you know, and these signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you refer to them, show us that, okay, the season of spring has come. What about the spring of your soul? How do you refresh yourself inside?
Yes,
this is very important.
The final conclusion that I can make is this, that since the Holy Prophet and Amir al-Mu'minin and Imam al-Sadiq and the other Imams did not explicitly reject or oppose this day, so there is no problem to celebrate this day.
Okay.
But of course, if in some of our hadith or riwayat, we are told not to celebrate this day, it is because of this, I think, that we should not consider it as Eid al-Islam.
Eid al-Islam, yes.
Yeah, and that will be something fabricated or something bid'ah. Yeah?
Okay.
That's not true.
Yes.
But if you just celebrate like other rituals, that there is no, let's say, problem with that from the Islamic perspective, that we can celebrate that.
That's right. So how to recreate the spring of soul, Sayyid? This is also important. I mean, for example, in the season of spring, we create or recreate, for example, the spring of the soul. How to do that?
Well, obviously, from the teachings of Islam or Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, what we see, you know, the narration which was narrating, that Imam Sadiq has said when you put your new clothes on the new year, go to the sajda and read this dua. Now, dua starts with the praising of Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salatu wasalam, saying a salawat on Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Okay.
And after that, there is a specific prayer, and that is, which says that, O Allah, barak lana, fi yawmina hadha alladhi, make this blessed day for us, make it blessed day. Why? Because this day is a new day, which you have given, you know, honor to this day. And the important prayer here is, Allahumma barik li fima an'amta bihi.
Yes.
You know, we have two words, ni'mah and barakah. There's a difference in it.
Yes.
In this, we are praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is a new year. You have given us some ni'mah, which generally is translated as the, you know, the bounty or the blessing. You need to, oh Allah, give barakah to this ni'mah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes we have ni'mah.
Yes.
We have blessings.
Blessings.
But barakah is something that, you know, saves it more. For example,
yes. Strengthening effects.
It's yes. Strengthening. On the other hand, sometimes I have less money.
Yes.
But I have a healthy, you know,
family.
Body. Healthy
body.
Family.
That's right.
You know, sometimes people have a lot of money, but they have many diseases, they are ill. They spend their money in unnecessary things, mm-hmm. unnecessary spendings, okay. you know, expenses.
That's right.
This is, barakah means that the things that you have, the money or the sustenance that you have,
that's right.
in that, obviously, you have barakah. It is enough for you, even
you
if it is less.
Thankful to them.
Yes.
You have to be thankful.
We need to be that's thankful right. for that.
Yes.
And obviously, in that, you know, there is like, it says like, the prayer says, مَا غَابَ عَنِّي فَلَا يَغِيبَنَّ عَنِّي
mm-hmm.
says that whatever is hidden for me, I pray that فَلَا يَغِيبَنَّ عَنِّي عَوْنُكَ وَحِفْزُكَ that your help and your protection does not disappear from me.
Mm-hmm.
This is an importance that you give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after that, it is said like whatever has been gone from me, I have no, you know, we can say grieve of that. But the important thing is your help should not be, you know, taken away from me. And the things that are hard to achieve, don't put me in those things.
Yes.
This is also important. You know, yes. sometimes we have people who work 24-hour, maybe, you know, 24-7.
Yes.
We say this because they're working in the morning, they have a night job, they're working on the weekend, and at the end they have no savings.
Yes.
It means that he's struggling a lot. He is earning a lot, but there is no saving for him. Why? Because he does not have that barakah. On the other hand, when we talk about the Nowruz and the importance of the Nowruz,
yes.
obviously, spiritually, it is the spring of the spirit as well.
Mm-hmm.
We should...
The Rabi. Of
yes.
the spirit, that's right.
Obviously, it is said about the Ramadan as well. The Ramadan is the month of Ramadan.
Yes.
Is the Rabi of the soul, Rabi of the Quran. The,
yes.
The spring of the Quran and the soul. But Nowruz as well, the new year, we can have a new, you know, we can get new energy.
That's right.
We can have a new start.
Yes.
You know, the things that we have done in the previous year. You know, one of the important things is in order to have the, you know, this new spring or soul spring.
Yes.
The important thing is that we must put accountable ourselves
yes.
for what we have done in the past.
That's right.
We must accept our mistakes.
Yes.
We should think that next time, how can I avoid these things
mm-hmm.
and how to make better?
That's right.
This is important because, you okay. know, generally, we never think about ourselves. The Urafa, they have said that if you want to, you know, if you want to have advance in your life, it is necessary that every night you think about your actions during
That's right.
the day.
Okay.
And if someone cannot do that, at least we can do that during the at the end of the year, so that the new year that we will start, inshallah, it will be really a new year for ourselves, for our souls.
That's right.
And as rightly mentioned, that our past year shouldn't be same as the next year.
And that's why most of the Persians and Iranians start the new year, the new Persian year, with this dua, Ya Mughallab al-Ghulub wal-Absar, Ya Mudabbar al-Layl wal-Nahar, Ya Muhawwal al-Hawl wal-Ahwal, Hawwal halana ila al-Ahsan hal, O changer of the hearts and the eyes, or the administrators of the nights and the days, O the changer of the feelings, okay, and the feelings and surroundings, change our mood and our feelings into the best ones, into the best that you desire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is in your hand. You are Madabbir al-Umur. You are the administrator of all the affairs in the world. Inshallah, the Persians have a good new year, and this year would be a good year for them by the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank you much, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi and Shaykh Rouhani. Thank you very much. And thank you very much, dear listeners. Again, we congratulate all the Persians, the Muslim Persians across the world, on the New Year's festival or Nowruz. To all of them, may you have a nice year ahead of you, a healthy year. May it be the year of the reappearance of Imam As, inshallah. And may we find the true spring of soul in this year, inshallah. Thank you very much for listening to us. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
I know that you could easily take away everything you've given me, and I try to remember not to take anything for granted.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. Please don't forget to log on to our website at parsetoday.ir. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you throughout my life, ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsetodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsetodayEnglish.
In the limelight.
In the U.S., the Justice Department has launched an inquiry into the sudden collapse of Silicon Valley Bank. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. CBS News has covered this story and tells us more. The Justice Department has opened an investigation into the circumstances surrounding the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank, just days after it was taken over by federal regulators to stem a bank run that threatened to spread across the U.S. banking industry. Federal law enforcement officials on Tuesday, 14th of March, confirmed the investigation into the bank's collapse, and the probe is said to be in its early stages. The official spoke to CBS News on condition of anonymity due to the sensitive nature of the investigation, which was first reported by the Wall Street Journal. The Justice Department declined to comment. California regulators took control of Silicon Valley Bank last Friday, 10th of March, after depositors scrambled to withdraw tens of billions of dollars in deposits over fears that the bank could become insolvent. The spreading panic prompted regulators in New York to seize another institution, Signature Bank, on Sunday, 12th of March. The Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation assumed control of both banks and said on Sunday that all depositors would be made whole, including those whose deposits exceeded $250,000 limit on funds backed by the federal government. The Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC, used an exemption in federal law that allows the government to insure deposits above the limit if failing to do so would pose a broader risk to the economy. Silicon Valley Bank's failure was the second largest bank collapse in U.S. history and the largest since the global financial crisis of 2008. The bank was the 16th largest in the United States, with $210 billion in assets. President Biden and his aides have sought to reassure the American public about stability in the banking system, and the president vowed to get to the bottom of what caused the collapse. There are important questions on how these banks got into these circumstances in the first place, Joe Biden said in remarks on Monday. We must get the full accounting of what happened and why so those responsible can be held accountable. In my administration, no one, in my view, no one is above the law. The website of National Public Radio, NPR, has also covered this story and tells us more. The Justice Department has launched an inquiry into the sudden collapse of Silicon Valley Bank, according to a person with direct knowledge of the investigation. Federal prosecutors are starting to ramp up a probe into the doomed Silicon Valley Bank just days after a bank run led to its swift collapse. In response, the Biden administration took extraordinary measures to shore up billions of dollars in deposits to contain contagion from spreading across the banking sector. While the exact nature of the investigation remains unclear, a source familiar said a formal announcement from the Justice Department is expected in the coming days. According to former federal prosecutors, one area that may intrigue Justice Department lawyers involved shares sold by top company executives just before the bank imploded. Silicon Valley Bank Chief Executive Officer Greg Becker sold $3.6 million of company stock just 2 weeks before the bank reported massive losses in the run-up to the bank's implosion, according to regulatory filings. A top company executive engaging in a significant financial transaction so close to a cataclysmic event makes sense as something that would be interesting to prosecutors, said Tamara Matthews-Johnson, a former Justice Department lawyer who is now in private practice. The sale has triggered new scrutiny of CEO Greg Becker and prompted some politicians to call for him to give the money back. Greg Becker has not been accused of any wrongdoing in connection with the stock sale. Becker did not return NPR's request for comment. On Friday, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC, seized the bank, which had some $175 billion in deposits. The vast bulk of the accounts were uninsured. Federal Deposit Insurance generally only guarantees up to $250,000. Treasury officials intervened and waived the cap in order to fully backstop depositors from an insurance fund backed up bank fees. Although officials said the plan to rescue the bank did not include taxpayer money and did not help the bank's management or investors, experts have called the intervention a bailout. Silicon Valley Bank, which was highly concentrated in the technology startup and venture capital world, had for some four decades been a centerpiece of the venture-backed startup economy. The demise of the bank has sent shockwaves across the technology sector. Startups who were facing financial challenges before the bank's failure are now bracing for them to be exacerbated. While the federal government's actions to support uninsured deposits provided a ray of hope for customers of the bank, uncertainty persists among companies in a day since regulators announced the rescue deal. Before officials in Washington unveiled emergency steps to protect Silicon Valley Bank depositors, outspoken venture capitalists and leaders in the startup community pleaded with the government for a safety net for depositors. forecasting a doomsday scenario for the technology industry in the absence of federal action. The British newspaper The Financial Times has also covered this story. US prosecutors are investigating the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank after a dramatic outflow of customer deposits from the California technology lender led to the biggest US bank failure since the global financial crisis, according to a person familiar with the matter. The Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, has also launched an investigation into the lender's collapse, according to media reports. The investigations, which were first reported by the Wall Street Journal, include looking into stock sales made by Silicon Valley Bank staff in the days leading up to the lender's fall. On 27th of February this year, less than 2 weeks before regulators closed Silicon Valley Bank, Gregory Becker, the bank's chief executive, exercised options on 12,451 shares at a cost of $105.18 a share and immediately sold them at prices ranging from $285.27 to $289.05, according to SEC filings. Silicon Valley Bank's chief financial officer, Daniel Beck, sold 2,000 shares at $287.59 a share on the same day. Both transactions were executed under what is known as a 10b5-1 trading plan, which allows officers to divest stock based on a predetermined schedule filed with the SEC without violating insider trading rules. The scheme has been adopted in January. The Department of Justice's probe into the implosion of Silicon Valley Bank is at an initial stage and may result in charges. Gary Gensler, the chair of the Securities and Exchange Commission, said in a statement on Sunday, without speaking to any individual entity or person, we will investigate and bring enforcement actions if we find violations of the federal securities laws. The Department of Justice has declined to comment. The probes come as U.S. regulators scramble to contain fallout from the Silicon Valley Bank debacle and stave off fears of contagion throughout the banking sector. The U.S. Federal Reserve on Sunday announced an emergency lending facility that will provide additional funding to eligible lenders in order to help assure banks have the ability to meet the needs of all of their depositors.
Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. This is IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.